Welcome to Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio with author, speaker, and your host, Pat Rulo. Serving you a generous helping of everything you need to know to help you and your loved ones stay safe during any doctor or hospital visit. The program is not intended to replace medical advice from a licensed professional, but rather to encourage you to become a well-informed participant in your health and well-being. And now, your host, Pat Rulo.
Hello and welcome. I'm Pat Rulo, the voice for patient safety, where each week we delve into little-known healthcare and hospital hazards, as well as other fringe topics that affect your health and well-being. I'm so happy you've taken the time to join me, and today I have lots to share with you. So let's dig right in, shall we? So doctor, I have what? Wait, can you repeat that? How is that spelled? Wait, I can't understand what you're saying. Well, don't get upset. I just don't know what those words mean. Can you slow down, please? I still don't understand. I have more questions, please. Can you stop typing into your computer and look at me? So what's the treatment? Wait, did you say three times a day? Please hear me. I don't understand. Oh, well, that was crazy. Or maybe not. Does your doctor sound like that to you? And if so, it's not your fault that you don't understand. So let's talk about health literacy. One of the official definitions is this. The Department of Health and Human Services defines health literacy as the degree to which individuals have the capacity to obtain, process, and understand basic health information needed to make appropriate health decisions and get services needed to prevent or treat illness. Now, just take that definition, for example. I find that hard to understand. The degree to which individuals have the capacity to obtain. Well, that's a mouthful that, quite frankly, has too many words in it. Degree, capacity, obtain. So there we have it. Even the official definition is confusing. And what is scary about this is that the strongest predictor of a person's health is health literacy. According to the National Patient Safety Foundation, they say that nothing, not age, income, employment status, educational level, and racial or ethnic group affects health status more than literacy skills. Now, some definitions are easier, like health literacy is the ability to understand and act on information. Well, that's better, but it still implies that it's the patient's problem. Ah, he doesn't have the ability to understand what I'm saying. She doesn't have the skills necessary to act on her health information. In fact, most articles and papers you find that discuss health literacy promote that same line of thinking. They say that those at risk include older adults, minority groups, people with less than a high school education, those who speak English as a second language, and lower income individuals. Those with poor health literacy are more likely to have a chronic disease and less likely to get the health care they need. Emergency room patients with inadequate literacy are twice as likely to be hospitalized as those with adequate literacy. Don't know what adequate means. And I say, maybe it's because physicians often do a poor job at assessing a patient's health literacy. Most everyone has the ability to understand something if it is explained slowly, with care, using words that the provider determines through thoughtful evaluation that the patient can comprehend, and then asking the patient to repeat. To teach back, so to speak, so that the provider can truly see and hear that the patient understands. And this takes time. Time that many providers simply do not have or are not willing to have with you. So in my mind, health literacy is a problem that originates at the source, the doctor's office, the hospital, the emergency room. For example, I read, an elderly woman sent home from the hospital develops MRSA at the surgical site because she doesn't understand the warning signs listed in the discharge instructions. Another doesn't understand how to fill out the health history questionnaire at her doctor's office and checks no to every question because she doesn't understand what is being asked or how to check the columns. A young mother, instructed to give her child a dropper full of medication, doesn't know how big of a dropper to use and over-medicates her child. And I read of a man in his 70s preparing for his first colonoscopy who used a suppository as directed, but without removing it from the foil packet. Ouch. Well, a few years ago, my mom went to the doctor's office for an oxygen test, and the nurse demanded, "Did you bring your cannula?" Did we bring what? A cannula? A cannula of olives? A cannula of pasta sauce? Well, luckily, we knew that a cannula is the plastic tube that is inserted in your nose when using oxygen. But if we didn't know this, how stupid would we have felt? Then to add to that, when my mom replied, "No, I didn't bring it because I didn't know that I was supposed to, as I didn't know what the test entailed," the nurse barked in her face, "Well, these things aren't free, you know." Whoa, that type of behavior can shut down even the most health-literate patient. When rudeness or arrogance enters the equation, you don't have to have low literacy to feel intimidated, shame, confusion, irritation, embarrassment, and fear. Oh, and what about the poor guy named Chuck? Good old Chuck had an earache and went to see his doctor. The doctor took a look and announced, "No problem, just a slight infection. We have something for that. My nurse Susie will be in with something for you. If it still hurts in 2 weeks, call my office and schedule a follow-up. Goodbye." And out the door he goes. 15 minutes later, Nurse Susie walks in and says to Chuck, "Here's a gown. Take off your pants and put the gown on with the opening in the back, and I'll return in a moment." Chuck's eyes open wide. What? Nurse Susie sighs and with a slight irritation repeats herself. "Here's the gown. Take off your pants and put the gown on with the opening in the back, and I'll return in a moment." Chuck stammers, but I don't understand. Why do I need to remove my pants?" Nurse Susie pulls out a piece of paper from her pocket and shows Chuck. "Look here. The doctor wrote, administer 4 drops in the rear." Chuck makes a face and says, "But I have an earache." "Oh, no," says Nurse Susie. "Perhaps it's the doctor's sloppy handwriting. He must have used the letter R as an abbreviation for the word right and meant 4 drops in the right ear, not rear." Oh, now this is what I call a near miss or a rear miss. Chuck allowed his doctor to walk out without explaining what was wrong, what the treatment would be, how it was to be done. No questions or answers about the side effects. Nothing. Now, much as I think it is the provider who is largely responsible for the health literacy experience and outcome of each patient, I know that we as patients cannot and should not sit back and say, "Hey, doc, do your thing. It's all on you." Health literacy is the responsibility of everyone, not just the care providers. So what can you do? Well, first, don't be like Chuck. Ask questions. Bring a list of questions with you to your doctor's appointment. Bring a family member or a friend or an advocate with you to every appointment. Bring a piece of paper and a pencil or pen, tape recorder, or another taping device in order to review every conversation during the medical encounter. Ask your doctor or nurse to speak slowly. Use simple terms. Repeat and maybe draw a picture to explain a medical condition or if you need surgery. Don't pretend that you understand when you don't. Well, I think we all do that, don't we? Just say, "Stop. Please explain that to me." And if you feel you need more time, ask to schedule another visit or ask if there's a nurse or assistant who can answer your questions. But do not go home without your questions answered. Ask for a copy of all lab and test results and your doctor's notes so that you can review those in the privacy and the quietness of your own home at your own pace. You do have a right to these copies. And here's one. Medications and health literacy is a dangerous intersection. Millions of people are injured or die from medication errors. Side effects from medications can diminish the quality of life if not understood and managed. Know what it is that you take. Know the side effects. Double check your pills when you pick them up from the pharmacy. Ask if there are other medication choices. Bottom line with medications, know what you're taking and why, for how long, what to look out for. I really cannot stress this one enough. And here's another quick one. We talked about this way back last year. There's a simple program called Ask Me 3. that provides you with three simple questions to ask your doctor. The first is, what is my main problem? The second, what do I need to do? And the third, why is it important for me to do this? That's easy. That's what Chuck should have done. Should have asked, what is my main problem? What do I need to do? Why is it important for me to do this, among others? And finally, I suggest, listen to this radio show each week, as I know you do. It's an easy way to get you to think about the many issues that surround your health and healthcare. And get a copy of my book. And no, it's not a plug, but it's a resource. It's full of many hazards that the average patient runs into every day, and it's easy to read. Now, one of the advantages of working toward being as health literate as possible is that it puts you in a position to promote your own care. And it allows you what is called veto power that gives you the knowledge and comfort to say no to care or treatment that you may not need. Because remember, you are in charge of you. No one knows you or your body better than you do. And remember, there's no such thing as a stupid question. As they say, the only stupid question is the one you don't ask. And as I say, if you don't understand what someone says to you or cannot decipher a form or discharge instructions, that is not your fault. No one is fully health literate. It's simply impossible. So ask and keep asking until you are happily informed. Once again, I refer to the name of this radio program, Speak Up. It's so true and really quite easy to do. Don't be a Chuck. Ask questions. You have to speak up and stay alive. So, doctor, I have what? Wait, can you repeat that? How is that spelled? Wait, I can't understand what you're saying. Well, don't get upset. I just don't know what those words mean. Can you slow down, please? I still don't understand. I have more questions, please. Can you stop typing into your computer and look at me? So what's the treatment? Did you say three times a day? Please hear me. I don't understand. After the show, be sure to visit the website speakupandstayalive.com for more life-saving information. Plus, that's where you can purchase the book, Speak Up and Stay Alive, The Patient Advocate, Hospital Survival Guide. Bring the book to the hospital with you. It's the best way to stand out and in a positive way. And remember, we donate 2 handmade pillowcases to a local veteran's shelter for every book sold with your name on it as the donor. So for a mere $20, you benefit, and so does some well-deserving warrior. Give a meaningful and useful gift that really says, I care. Give the gift of healthcare safety. Purchase the book, the patient safety logs, and throw in some of those icebreaker cards. It's a one-size-fits-all present that everybody needs. You can order online at speakupandstayalive.com or call me, 440-725-5462.
Hi there, this is Mrs. Green, and I'd love you to be a part of my world. It's a world filled with amazing people, interesting and engaging ideas, all related to the preservation of this great planet of ours. We interview people from all over the world about topics that I know will interest you, and we educate people in fun, informative ways and inspire them to take small steps so that together we can make a big impact. Please visit my website at mrsgreensworld.com to learn more and become a part of our world.
She is a dear friend of mine with lots to share with you. She even has a book, and you can reach her by phone at 520-230-3977. That's 520-230-3977. Or visit her website, mrsgreensworld.com.
Today, more and more people who are in quote-unquote normal families, both parents have to work. So care that's needed pushes down to the children.
Hi, I'm Jana Panarides, host of the AgeWise podcast, where we explore aging and caregiving in every generation. Listen to a brand new episode each week at speakuptalkradio.com. To learn more about the show, go to agewyz.com.
If you or someone you know is in the caregiver role, check out her website and purchase her book. Visit agewise.com, and that's spelled AGEWYZ, or give her a call, 800-590-2129. That's 800-590-2129.
This is Susan Marie from The Dougie Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. Please join my canine co-host, the Dougie Diva herself, Miss Olive, and I as we bring the experts in the pet and animal world right to you each week on Speak Up Talk Radio, or please visit us at our website at thedoggiediva.com. Have a great Diva Week, everyone.
That's right. If you want to learn more about how to keep your pets safe and happy, tune into my favorite pet show, The Dougie Diva Show, found at our very own speakuptalkradio.com or visit doggydiva.com.
Hot, 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 hot. Bring the heat.
And now, back to the show.
Well, right now, I want to share a recent article from Harvard Medical School by author Jake Miller. It is titled, Location Matters. Patients at hospital-based primary practices more likely to get unnecessary tests and services. They say patients with common conditions such as back pain, headaches, and upper respiratory infections are more likely to receive tests and services of uncertain or little diagnostic or therapeutic benefit, so-called low-value care, when they seek treatment in primary care clinics located at hospitals, rather than at community-based primary care clinics. And this is according to a nationwide study led by researchers at Harvard Medical School and the David Geffen School of Medicine at UCLA. The key driving factor of this disparity appears to be clinic location rather than clinic ownership. Their findings suggest that more immediate access to specialists and the proximity and convenience of imaging services in hospitals may drive physicians in such settings to overuse them. Think that makes sense, does it? Hey, go downstairs for an x-ray. Go upstairs for the MRI. You're right there. Might as well do it. Overtesting and unnecessary referrals are serious concerns because past research shows that up to one-third of medical care may be wasteful or unnecessary. And it can not only fuel higher overall treatment costs and spending, but for you as a patient can also lead to additional invasive and potentially harmful procedures. And in the cases of CT scans and x-ray testing, expose you to unnecessary radiation. And we've talked about this many times before. So we as patients need to be aware of this location tendency to overuse certain tests and services of questionable therapeutic value. Common examples of low-value care include prescribing antibiotics for a patient with the common cold or other viral upper respiratory infection not affected by antibiotics, or sending a patient with uncomplicated back pain or headache for an MRI or a CT scan. In their analysis, the team compared patient records obtained from two national databases comprising more than 31,000 patient visits over a 17-year period, during which patients sought treatment in hospital-based primary care clinics or community-based clinics for upper respiratory infections, back pain, and headaches. They found that antibiotic prescription rates were similar in both community and hospital-based clinics, which is usually out of sight, just popping antibiotics right and left, when in fact the only time you would need an antibiotic is if you have a bacterial infection, not an allergy, not a virus. However, hospital-treated patients were referred more often for MRIs and CT scans than community-treated patients, more often for x-ray testing, and more often for evaluation by a specialist. Additionally, the patients most likely to receive unnecessary tests and services were those visiting hospital-based primary care clinics, but seeing someone other than their usual primary care physician. The finding highlights the importance of continuity of care and suggests that when you as a patient bounce from physician to physician, that you're more likely to be overtested and overtreated. And this takes me back to my opening conversation today about health literacy and your ability to feel free to speak up, to ask questions, and realize that you have the veto power to say yes, and more importantly, to say no. So keep the idea of location in mind during your next healthcare visit and be sure to exercise your power. And the whole thought of overtesting makes me want to bring up one more recent healthcare shocker. A federal audit found that Mount Sinai Hospital in New York overbilled Medicare by nearly $42 million. But the hospital is pushing back against the findings. They say that these errors occurred primarily because the hospital did not have adequate controls to prevent the incorrect billing of Medicare claims. And then rather than own up to it, Mount Sinai wrote in a response letter that it's too late for the feds to claim the vast majority of those payments as they fall outside of the recovery deadline. They also say that some of the claims fell outside of the 4-year reopening window and did not need to be returned. Oh my, don't you just love that? Hiding behind legal technicalities and loopholes? And then there was the recent whistleblower lawsuit on Medicare Advantage plans, as they commit fraud when they knowingly submit or have a contractor submit on their behalf data to the Centers of Medicare and Medicaid Services that are inaccurate or ineligible for payment under the CMS rules. In many cases, Medicare Advantage fraud occurs by claiming payments for medical conditions that their members were not treated for and may not even have. And then there's more fun called upcoding, when they upcode a diagnosis to exaggerate the severity of the member's condition, claiming that a person is sicker than they really are, in order to submit to the Centers for Medicaid a diagnosis code at a higher rate. And I watched that happen on several occasions during my mom's almost 9-year health journey. For some reason, her primary care physician consistently tacked on diabetes as one of my mom's many diagnoses, when in fact she did not have diabetes. When he would give us the summary at the end of a visit, it always said that we talked about diabetes, when in fact we never mentioned the word diabetes. Once when I questioned him about this, he nearly lunged out of his seat at me, shouting that he did nothing wrong. Well, it was quite a bizarre reaction to my simple question. Methinks he protested too loudly. So again, I bring this up to fortify my plea to you as a consumer, as a patient, to become as informed as you can and ask questions. Because obviously there are people out there doing whatever they can get away with to make a buck, or millions, at your expense. Both of my radio shows, Speak Up and Stay Alive and Speak Up Talk Radio, focus on the central theme of you becoming the voice for informed choice. So I hope you take today's conversation to heart and feel free to speak up and ask questions and be an empowered patient. And I also hope that you can get a copy of my book, Speak Up and Stay Alive, The Patient Advocate Hospital Survival Guide. There are just so many tips and tricks and healthcare hazards that you may not be aware of. And a quick read of that book will put you in the position to feel free to speak up on your own behalf. So simply go to speakupandstayalive.com, head over to the shop page, and you will find the book. It's $20. Proceeds go to our pillowcase project, where we name you as the donor during our next pillowcase delivery. That's speakupandstayalive.com. Well, we are definitely out of time, so we've got to get going. I hope you come back next week. Same time, same place, but you know me, never the same information. Until then, I hope you have a healthy and a happy week. I am Pat Rulo. And I am the voice for informed choice. Well, it looks like we made it through another Cleveland winter, and that means some fun in the summer heat. And then we complain about it being too hot, don't we? And there is nothing worse than a steamy, sticky night when you can't sleep. That's when it's time for a little AC to cool things down. But when was the last time you had your air conditioning unit cleaned and checked? Well, my friends at B&K Heating and Cooling in North Royalton have a summer special to help you with that right now. It's only $59.95, and I say do it now before you flip the switch, only to find that your unit needs help. Call 216-210-2529 and ask for Bill. He helped us this winter with our furnace, and now he can help you too. That's 216-210-2529, or visit their website, bnkheating.com.